This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladev, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Well, thank you. Good to chat to you today.
Nice to speak to you. I believe that the date has been set for Malka Leifer's hearing. That's good news.
It is positive news. I mean, a date has been set with the caveat, and the caveat is it's not the ultimate date. So what I'm talking about there is there was a hearing in what's called the county court, and this is in the state of Victoria, down south, which is where Melbourne is. And Malka Leifer appeared there on Zoom and wearing her, seems to be a standard blue dress and a turban. And the magistrate reminded her to appear. He said there would be a hearing on June 6th. Now, that is not going to be the definitive trial. That'll be the next stage in this whole process. And what was, interestingly, what her lawyer said there was that given it, the complexities of the case, etc., and given the chagim, I'm sure she didn't use the word chagim, that are coming up, that the trial itself is expected to run for all of 5 days. Preferably, says the lawyer, it shouldn't happen before October 19. In other words, after the high holidays. So the next hearing will be June 6, and then looking to a postponement in late October. And just in case anyone, you know, is forgotten or new to what we're talking about, this will be talking about Malka Leifer, who was extradited from Israel early in 2021. She has pleaded not guilty to approximately 70 charges relating to child sexual abuse, which allegedly occurred at a school which was principal here in Australia, in Melbourne, between 2004 and 2008. And after a long process, she was extradited to Australia, as I say, early last year. So that's where we are right now. Expected to take 5 weeks. June 6th, the next hearing, and expecting a postponement to late October for approximately a five-day actual trial.
Is there any sense of what will happen, assuming she's found guilty? What type of sentence would we expect to be meted out?
There hasn't been any specific discussion on that relating to this case. However, there have been, sadly, a number of child sexual abuse cases, nothing to do with Malka Leifer, but in the media, as recently as today, and in the mainstream media relating to other people, in fact, and the cases are, the sentences are heavy, as in multiple years, if and when people are found guilty. So without knowing specifically about this case, obviously, the pattern is, and coming in the wake of a royal commission into child sexual abuse, which took place in this country approximately 4 or 5 years ago now, there is, as there should be anywhere, obviously, a massive groundswell of strong opinion that, you know, such offences should be heavily penalised. So that I imagine would be the practice and the norm, which if she's found guilty, of course, I expect would happen.
Absolutely right. It will be fascinating to see, and of course we'll keep a very close eye, as we have done, on this horrible, horrible story. Once again, Jewish businessman features on the rich list. Tell us.
Indeed. So this is a list, which is published every year by the Australian Financial Review, which is one of the country's top national newspapers, and obviously with a strong business financial bent. And they list top in terms of wealth, financial wealth, top 200, and it's broken down in the top 10. Numbers 3, 6, and 10 are Jewish. And in fact, number 10 will be known by many listeners. His name is Ivan Glasenberg, who has a strong former South African connection. And I understand he lives part of the year here in Australia, part of the year in Europe.
I had no idea he had an Australian connection.
Indeed, he does. Yes, and he was listed on the Australian rich list and comes in at number 10. And then in the top, members of the Jewish community, there are three representatives of three Jewish people in the top 10. There are another four in the next dozen, and and a very strong representation. And what it speaks to, as we have discussed before, is that Jewish people, as this is one of the most multicultural nations in the world, and Jewish people have very much benefit from that, and dare I say, you know, are blessed to be living in this country. And the hallmark of that business success is, you know, but one example.
Absolutely right. Concerning results from a survey on level of anti-Semitism in New Zealand.
So New Zealand is our as in Australia's very close and strong neighbor, and as we know, they are phenomenal rugby players. And apologies to Springbok supporters for saying that, but the All Blacks certainly are. Sadly, a survey has just been done, and to gauge the levels of anti-Semitism in New Zealand society, and it was conducted by the New Zealand Jewish Council, which is the formal representative body of New Zealand Jewry. The New Zealand community is quite small, around 4,000 people. And over 66% of respondents agreed with one or more anti-Semitic viewpoints. And 18 recognized statements were put to over 1,000 New Zealanders to measure, to gauge the anti-Semitic sentiment. And it revealed, so there was over 20% believed that Jews, quote, have too much power in international financial markets. And others, Holocaust awareness was concerningly extremely low. Jewish people who have been born there, living there for many years, were understandably extremely disturbed by these findings. And also, and then the segues obviously includes almost half of the respondents held one or several anti-Israel views, many believing it did not have the right to exist at all as a Jewish state. So pretty concerning. And relating this back to South Africa, Hilton Rubin, former South African school principal, he was at Herzliya in Cape Town, he was at Carmel Pretoria. Mm. Hilton was school principal of Carmel College, which is the Jewish school, the only Jewish school in New Zealand, in Auckland. So he was there for some time, did an excellent job in building it up. He then migrated into Australia, to Melbourne. Mm. And so the school now is, I understand, is not flourishing as it could, that there's not a very strong Jewish presence there. So sadly, we're seeing the results of the survey, and obviously it is pretty concerning.
It is. It absolutely is indeed. 6:57, that is where we leave it. Vic Aladev, thank you as always for bringing us the Australia Report.